Rejoice in the Lord, rejoice. I say it again, rejoice. That's what St. Paul tells us. I believe it's in his letter to the Philippians, but anyways, it's St. Paul who quotes that, who says that. And the Latin word for that is laetare. And that's the words we would have heard had we done the introit. Instead, we sang a hymn, which is all in good. But that word, laetare, is also the title given to this particular Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent. And if we'd had enough rose vestments, we could have come out wearing rose rather than the violet. It was one of 2 days during the year when we are allowed to wear rose vestments. The other one is Gaudete Sunday, which basically means the same thing as laetare. It's almost the exact same word, rejoice. It expresses joy, and that's the third Sunday of Lent. We wear violet during a season like Lent, as we are now in the season of Lent, to represent, of course, the penance we must practice, but also we reflect on the passion and death of our Lord, which is suffering. It means much suffering. And our Lord's suffering, as we well know, was very intense suffering. And so it was for our Blessed Lady who stood near the cross. We could go on. Right? But it means we're looking at intense suffering. Then we think joy simultaneously. We express that joy now. That's why the word laetare, and a day is known as Laetare Sunday, because we near the end of Lent, we're approaching now the great glory of the resurrection. What a great joy. But there's something more here that we must also reflect on. When we see all of that intense suffering, and you look at the lives of the saints, and you should read them. Read the lives of the saints, particularly several of the martyrs. I'm going to describe one in just a minute. But you look. Many of them went through, if not all of them, went through intense sufferings one way or another. But there was always a great joy. Now, perhaps one of the most outstanding examples we have of this, there are many, all right? But one of the most outstanding ones is that of St. Lawrence, deacon and martyr, who was condemned to be slow roasted on a gridiron and went to his martyrdom, actually quipping and joking. As he's slow roasting on the, you can imagine what intense suffering that would be over a slow fire, slow roasting over a gridiron. He says, oh, now I'm done enough on this side. You can turn me around. You can turn me over. Now I'm done. Now you can eat me. You know, he was joking as he was going through it. He was joyful. And if you follow the whole story, about four days prior to that, he was down in the catacomb. It's just the biggest one in Rome. You know, it's almost the size of a full city. It's called that of St. Callistus. And he was down there. I've had the opportunity to stand right on the spot with four other companions, one of them being the Pope. I believe Pope Sixtus, I forget the exact which one. I think it's the second. But anyways, he was down there. And the four of them, not St. Lawrence, but the other four, St. Lawrence was the deacon serving the Pope. But the other four were arrested and carried off. And St. Lawrence was calling back, oh, please, please, I want to go too. He wanted to be martyred with them. And the Pope called back and said, don't worry, St. Lawrence, you're going to follow us in a few days. You are going to follow us. And so it was, he did. He wanted to go, you see. Not only were they ready to go, they wanted to go. Some of them even helped their executioners, because the executioners saw the innocents and were so shaken by what they had to do, they could hardly do it. And they would help them, actually. They wanted to go. Another example, we just celebrated Saints Felicity and Perpetua and Felicity just a few days ago, March 7th. One of them, the two, they were martyred together with several others that were thrown to the beasts. And as they're walking away from, I believe it's Perpetua, if I remember, I can't remember which one, but it was one of the two, was asked, well, when are we going to be thrown to the beasts? And he said, look at yourself. She looked. She was already fully covered with blood. She'd already been thrown and didn't even realize it. That's how much intensely she was enwrapped in the love of God. She didn't even feel it. Now they were being walked away. Actually, they were going to be walked away to a place where they finished them off. They would behead them. But the people called for them to be brought back so they could see it happen. And they were all beheaded. But in any case, what we see there, and we might ask ourselves, why, how can that be? In the face of such intense suffering, such an intense joy as well. And that's exactly what they experienced. How can there be? You know, when we think of suffering, we think of penance. What do we think of? It repulses us. We want to run from it. We're afraid of it. We can be afraid of it. But here, in the face of all this, it brought them great joy. I'm going to give another example, what kind of joy this can be. We're reflecting here on the three children of Fatima, particularly Jacinta, who was the youngest of the three. But from the very start, one of the very first things they were asked, will you accept the sufferings that our Lord deigns to send you? And well, Lucy responded for all of them very spontaneously, yes, we will. And Our Lady responded, then you will have much to suffer. And she also told them, I believe particularly in the third apparition, well, when she told them, the world must stop sinning, and our Lord was already too much offended, she said, it is important. She asked them to offer sacrifices for the conversion of sinners in repentance for sin and for the Holy Father who had much to suffer. Well, that would actually be made apparent later on, but still, for all of these things. And from then on, the children looked for every opportunity to offer a sacrifice, any opportunity. And they had a multitude. Again, the most prominent one of that was Jacinta, who would do so continually. Any little opportunity. And they would ask each other, well, do you not want to make this sacrifice? Oh, yes, I do. And they'd even go even further. They want to make those sacrifices just as Our Lady had asked. Out of love for the Immaculate Heart, out of love for the Sacred Heart, and for the conversion of sinners. And, yes, for the Holy Father, we would have much to suffer. They wanted to. And it brought them great joy to be able to do it. And they were thankful when they had those opportunities. And there were, throughout the rest of their lives, there were a multitude of opportunities. But still, it was a great joy for them. And they didn't hesitate to express it. Yes, it meant pain and suffering. But it was well worth all of it for them. If they could offer, just as Our Lady asked, that sacrifice, it was a great joy. See, there's what we have to look at here. Yes, suffering is repugnant to us. We tend to be afraid of it, and we want to turn away, we want to run. But yet it can bring a great joy when we are uniting that suffering together with our Lord's suffering on the cross. It's bringing us closer to Him. And that, actually, there's no greater joy than to be close to God. It can be no greater joy because there's no one, no nothing, no one greater than God. How can there be a greater joy than to be close to God? I can't. And that's exactly what all of this sacrifice and this suffering was doing, bringing them closer to Him. They were uniting with His, and out of this suffering, in fact, Jacinta would even say that, oh good, now you can save this many more souls. I've offered this sacrifice. Particularly towards the end of her life, as she was suffering her final illness, and she had to go through surgery without anesthesia, without being able to drink anything. Very intense pain, finally alone in a hospital in Portugal, in Lisbon. And that is how she died. But she willingly offered all of it. And she would say, hey, now that you can, more souls you can save, I've offered this sacrifice. It brought her great joy. You see? Because she was that much closer to God. And this is what He willed. That sacrifice, that penance for the conversion of sinners. There's the great joy. Because we're that much closer to God. When St. Francis was up there on Mount Alverna, high up in the crevice there, way up at the top, He was alone in prayer, and his prayer was, he was already so much in love with Christ. He wanted to share Christ's love to the point of sharing his passion and death. That was the intensity of the love. And the response was the stigmatization. St. Francis was then on the spot stigmatized, impressed with the wounds of our Lord on the cross. The very wounds. Right? He shared to it completely, intimately. Right? That was the intensity of his love. And it brought a great joy to, yes, intense suffering, and it did. But it also brought a great joy. Right? St. Pio of Pietrelcina, many centuries later, when he was stigmatized, he wrote to his spiritual father, I relish the pain and the suffering. I want that. I love that. He relished that because that was bringing him closer to God. He was sharing that much intimately in the love of Christ. The visible marks, no. That was repugnant to him because of the humility that would bring on him, the humiliation. He would have much rather avoided all of the visible stigmata. But the pain and the suffering he wanted, he relished that, you see. But that was the intensity of his love, that of St. Francis. That was the intensity of their love. That all of that pain and suffering, as intense as it was, so much so that if anyone else tried to share it, and they didn't hesitate to say so, St. Pio did actually tell one of his confreres, no, you can't handle it. You would die. That's how intense. But it brought a great joy. And there's what we have to reflect here. That suffering, that pain, if we're willing to offer it in conversion, for our own conversions, first of all, in reparation for our own sins, and that for others as well, will bring a great joy. It's a great joy because we are closer to God. And that's what this whole season is all about, to bring us closer to God. How do we do that? Exactly that. Why, that's but our penances that we offer, our mortifications, so that we can improve ourselves. You see? That we can empty ourselves of ourselves and let God fill us with himself. That's how we get closer to God. It will mean suffering because we have to give up certain things of ourselves. We have to give away certain vices, perhaps, or even perhaps even some legitimate things in order to improve ourselves, in order to grow closer to God. It's going to mean some sacrifice, some penance, some suffering. But it will mean a great joy if we offer it willingly. And this, in order to show our love for God, to appease that heart so suffering, so crowned with thorns, right? And this is what the children saw at Fatima when they saw Our Lady, her Immaculate Heart. She was sad. She wasn't smiling. All right, she was distressed because of all of the sin and evil in the world. And this would appease her heart, this suffering, that of her great divine son, which she told him. And they became to love those hearts so much, to love Our Lady, to love our Lord so much, they wanted to offer that suffering. They wanted to offer their sacrifices. They looked for it, the opportunity. That is great joy. That is why we express it with that phrase, laetare, rejoice. Again I say it, rejoice. The time of our suffering, the end of our suffering, is near. The time of the glory of the resurrection, of our union with God in paradise, is near. Praise be Jesus and Mary.